Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello, welcome to the IGN UK podcast. To my right is Joe Scrubbles.
Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh,
excited for the week ahead.
Are you?
That's ended for everyone listening to this, so yeah. F off. Yeah. I don't care what you did.
It's a Wednesday, we'll be released on a Friday as per usual. We're not breaking any sort of trend.
No.
We're not that mad. To my left.
It's me.
That is Sydney Goodman.
Did I jump the gun?
No,
you can do whatever you want.
I like that.
It's free form.
Who I like.
It's the loosey-goosey element of this podcast. Ooh, that some
I'm
describe.
Still jet-lagged, so I feel very loosey-goosey.
That works out.
You flew in yesterday.
I did fly in yesterday.
Why are you here?
For XO19. I wasn't sure if that was a real question or if you're just being a dick.
It's normally both.
Yes. All right, no, I'm here for XO19, which starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
right?
Tomorrow Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. It already started the past.
For the people listening, we did it. Thanks
it
for
was
the
bad.
Help.
We did such a good job.
I know,
wow.
Right?
So
but
good.
You can see we're doing a full... We have done a full post-show for Inside Xbox.
Like traveling through space.
I know. We're not going to talk about the announcements in case any of them change in advance of the show.
No,
they're great.
I'm just going to say now, wasn't it a lovely time?
Yeah.
So
I've signed
lovely.
Three different NDAs for that show. I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
I haven't signed a single NDA, so
Let's
everybody listen up.
This is your first time in London.
It is.
Is it really?
It's my first time in London.
Shit.
Yeah, I didn't know you guys have different plugs than the rest of Europe. So been a fun learning curve.
Just like everything else in this fucking country, we make it difficult for ourselves and everyone who comes here.
Yeah, no,
so
it's great.
You've seen the inside of a Stratford hotel room. How was that for you?
I have. It's great. I got a handicap room. Which I feel like usually they tell you that, which I don't have any issues with it, but I feel kind of guilty because I'm like, what if maybe somebody who didn't need it wasn't like, maybe it was open when I checked in, but what if somebody shows up that like needs this?
Yeah. Do they just turf you out?
I was like, I don't know. I was thinking about that today. I was like, oh, I mean, this is fine, but what happens if somebody needs this? Are they going to kick me out?
So far, you spent a day in London and it's just been filled with guilt.
Right? Yeah, I just feel immensely guilty. No, I've seen that. That's it.
Did you watch anything on the plane? Play anything on
the
plane?
So I was really tired. Well, no, I made myself really tired because I always, whenever I fly to Europe, I always try to fly like the 3 p.m., 4 p.m. flight so that it's kind of technically like overnight.
Yeah.
So I slept pretty okay. I mean, you know. I slept, but I slept for most of the flight. But I have been watching Succession.
Oh, yes. We haven't properly talked about it since season 2
finished.
Okay. Oh, see, so. I'm on the season finale of the first season.
Oh, nice.
So I'm really far behind, but holy shit.
Yeah, we won't spoil anything for anyone.
Yeah.
But
so
please watch it. It's so good. Oh, my gosh.
It is the best.
It's stunning. We had like
since Mad Men, probably.
I think we had like maybe a 40-minute discussion about it last night, me, you, and Krupa, just like... Isn't it nuts how good this is?
Yeah.
Also, I watched season 1 last year, I went back and listened to my thoughts about it on this podcast. I was really down on it.
Really?
At the time, you didn't like it?
At the time, I thought it was like tonally weird.
It's tonally very weird.
I didn't get into the comedy drama flip-flop thing.
I think season one is a bit up and down and it is a little slow in paces, but season two is absolutely
also like the way
for a treat.
And that's my season two is going to be on my way home.
The way they take the characters who are like silly in season one and turn them into serious characters in the second season just like redeems everything about it for me. Because I was like, Tom always bothered me in season one. I was just like, he's a bit stupid. I don't know why. I don't know why he's head of everything.
Sure.
And then. Okay, that is also classic British guy playing an American as well. Yeah. Like, really hammered
that. Oh, is he British?
Yeah. I'm glad it doesn't come across
Australian
really badly.
As well, I think.
Is she?
She is. I looked it up on IMDb. I IMDb everything when I watch it. I but don't
database.
Do that if you guys watch TV shows, because I've learned my lesson and it'll tell you how long they've been on the show.
Done that
so then you figure out
well.
Who
like,
dies
they were
or
in
leaves.
Four episodes. Like, oh, what happened?
The worst one is like Game of Thrones and stuff like that, where you search a character's name and then it doesn't bring up their entry on Wikipedia. It brings it up on like Game of Thrones Wiki, and it's like, Stannis Baratheon was.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I've done that more than once. But yeah, so Succession was what I've been watching.
Good. That
so
is
good.
A good way to pass time.
Yeah, it is.
When people come on this podcast, we always ask them three questions. I'm going to start off with, what's your favorite film? Give us a favorite
it's
film.
Only I can only say one.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you've got a couple, we'll be leaving.
Okay, here.
He will, I won't. I'll be furious.
I'm going to say a couple, and then Joe, you can just decide which one's my favorite.
Okay, cool.
So Shawshank Redemption.
Nice.
Inglourious Bastards.
Ooh.
Yep.
Donnie Darko.
I love
Parasite.
Really?
Well, we don't get Parasite till February, which is very annoying.
Okay, wait, but so what you should do, oh my gosh.
Are you about to spoil Parasite for us?
I don't know if I should say this, if this is legal or not.
No,
so my husband, we have a home server. He's like very into that stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it's very confusing to me. But Parasite came out in Parasite came out in Korea on Blu-ray a long time ago.
Right.
So he got that.
I don't think it's illegal to import Blu-rays.
Okay. Well, so we imported Parasite.
That's fine. Yeah. That's
and so
fine.
You should just import.
Yeah,
Parasite.
We could do that.
And then you can watch it now.
Pounds, wouldn't it?
Would it?
If we split it between us, that's as much
going
to the
cinema.
Each. It's worth
well,
it.
Well, I'll find a few more friends.
It's
have we
worth
got any
it.
More friends?
We've got, I don't know. I'm never sure who's
Cardi
my real
doesn't.
Friends. No, absolutely not.
Wow.
I'm going to say, because I haven't seen Parasite, of those four, your favourite film is Donnie Darko.
Okay.
I think Inglourious Basterds is my favourite out of those. But
is
they're
it?
All good films. Oh, well, I'm assuming film. Parasite's good.
Donnie Darko's one of the
Parasite's
greatest
so
quiz answers I've ever given on this podcast.
It was
we used
good.
To do a quiz called Keyword Countdown where you have to work out what a
film is.
A film is. I forgot what films were. Based on keywords on IMDb, and they get easier as it goes down. So like the last one would have been like Bunny Rabbit.
Yeah.
But the first keyword was 1980s, and I said Donnie Darko and won 10
Whoa.
Points.
I think it was 1984. It's the specific
Oh, was it?
Wow.
It was very good.
It's funny because I saw Donnie Darko, and I was like too young to be watching Donnie Darko, but I like was really into Tumblr. Was Tumblr big here?
Yeah. Ish.
Okay, I was really into Tumblr, but so I was kind of like alternative child.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, Tumblr's great. And a lot of Donnie Darko quotes showed up on Tumblr, because, you know, it's moody and whatever. And so I was like, oh, what is this? I must watch Donnie Darko. But so I watched it with my parents. My dad actually made me turn it off, because he was like, I think there's one part near the beginning where they talk about this is oh my gosh I'm not this inappropriate usually you guys but they were talking about like
you
sucking
are.
Dick
oh isn't it just why don't you go suck a fuck
I think so like really early my dad was
how
like
how does one suck a fuck
yeah
a
I was
scene.
I think I was in like sixth grade or something and my dad was like nope and then like a couple weeks later I finished it and was like yes.
Good stuff
it's so good.
It's very good
that was one of those weird things from the noughties where it was like the story was more explicable when you looked up like the internet's conspiracy around it.
Yeah.
Because like, none of the chest bubbles or anything make any sense until you go on the internet. It's like, oh, here's the entire philosophy of this film.
Exactly.
It's really
well,
weird.
And you can find the transcript for the, oh my gosh, I can't think of the woman who wrote the time travel book.
Oh,
and the,
yeah.
But you can find that transcript online.
Yeah,
so
you
like,
can read the book.
Yeah, I got really into that whole thing of, you know, using the internet and then figuring
kind
things out.
Kind of Blair Witchy. Like, they don't do that enough anymore. I want more films. Like,
well, didn't Lost do that too?
Watchmen's doing that. There's lots of background stuff you can read about Watchmen online.
Like, that would really help make that program interesting to watch. Really.
I haven't watched any of it yet.
Four episodes in, and I think it's brilliant.
I've only watched one episode, and it kind of
basically there's all the logs each episode. They add from one of the FBI detectives in the show. They add their logs online, and you can read.
I like that.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
TV.
You're so upset about this.
Well, because I'm so bad.
You've already talked about
Succession. I have too many.
Can't be your favorite right now.
Okay, wait. So here, we're going to do this again. Joe will choose my favorite. So Arrested Development.
Good.
Mad Men, which we were talking about earlier. The Office.
Oh,
the US one. I've never watched the British one.
US Office is better than the UK one.
I prefer the UK one.
I wasn't
going to
say that, but you did.
I think they are both brilliant programs. Yeah. I like
Everyone
America
wins.
And Britain.
Do you? Oh, you're such a transatlantic handshake of a man.
I am.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to say
Simon Cardi.
For continuity, I think Mad Men is the biggest answer to that question.
Mad Men is my favorite show as well.
It's so good.
It's nuts.
Like, oh my gosh, it hurts me. But then what was that season 7 that was during the writer's strike? I think it was season 7. And it's just,
there was a slight little dip, but it ends as well as any program I've ever seen.
I completely agree with that. I know some people didn't like the ending. We won't spoil it for you, but I know a lot of people didn't like it, and I really loved it. I thought it was very true to the character.
Boardwalk Empire are my favorite endings to a show.
I've never watched a single episode of Boardwalk Empire.
It's amazing.
Did it just end recently or something?
No, it ended like 7-8 years ago.
I've had a lot of people talk to me about Boardwalk Empire in the last month.
It's incredible.
It's coming back.
It is very much worth watching. So which one are you picking out of that?
I'm going Mad Men.
Mad Men is my favorite.
Fits the history.
Man, now, I'm so moody.
Now we're on to games.
Okay.
And I know one of these.
Yeah. This one is, so Halo 3 is one of my all-time favorite games, but keeping with the trend.
Yeah.
So I'll say Halo 3, Pokemon Silver.
Good choice.
That is the best generation.
I completely agree.
Silver's got Lugia in it, doesn't it? Not Ho-Oh.
Yes.
I like that one. He looks like he's been burned.
And then...
He's my favorite.
And then once you finish...
I like Emerald of Rayquaza.
I agree with you.
And then Toontown, which...
What the fuck is Toontown?
Guys, Toontown's the best. So it was this MMO that came out in, 2003, I think. Mm-hmm. It was Disney, where you, make a toon. It's just, the most pure MMO. So you make a toon... And you have to battle the evil cogs, who the cogs are like businessmen.
Yes.
In my head, this is
capitalist.
This is kind of like the fun stuff that you see in the background of Who Framed Roger Rabbit happening.
Kind of.
The actual town.
That's interesting.
Without the
murder
mystery.
So it is in that actual town, because if you go to Disneyland, I don't know how Disneyland Paris or any other Disney, but Disneyland in California, which is where I'm from, they have a Toontown, and that's where Roger Rabbit is. But the thing is, you use gags to defeat the evil cogs.
As in jokes.
Yeah. And you throw pies at them. Yes, I'm hilarious, Cardi. You throw pies at them and you squirt them with water bottles and you drop pianos on them. But there's raids and...
This actually sounds amazing.
It sounds like City of Heroes, but with cartoons.
It's incredible. It's my favorite thing. But so they took the servers offline maybe 10 years ago. And it used to be you have to pay for the service, but then some fans recreated servers.
Oh, shit.
So it's free to play now. And there's two big servers. New ones pop up every once in a while. I'm very...
You still play Toontown?
I still play Toontown.
Amazing. Who's your toon?
Her name's Roxy Sparkle Flipper. Mm-hmm. She was my original toon when I first started playing, and then I just remade her.
Amazing.
But I'm only on level 40 right now, and it goes up. I think the level cap is 170.
Oh shit! Mm-hmm.
What's she look like?
She's a dog, who's brown, and so there's a couple different heads for the dogs. There's this one really ugly one where they have a bump on the top. Sorry if you have a bumpy head, but you have a bump on the top, and I was always who would choose that one? But then mine has a really long snout, and then there's three different body types. You could be it's a torso that's shorter, and then there's a long skinny one, and then there's kind of a chonky one, and so mine's a little chonk. And then I have the medium legs, so I'm not quite short, but I'm not tall.
Toontown's absolutely your favorite game. Yeah.
I love Toontown so
effusively.
So
I'm intrigued.
I think if you follow a cancelled MMO to fan servers 10 years later, that's your favorite game.
Okay. I love Toontown so much.
Well, are you sure this brown dog is not Scooby-Doo?
I was going to ask one more question. Sorry, can we? I know that's a beautiful
segue.
It's an amazing segue. But we also have to ask, have you seen the film The Prestige?
Yes.
Do you like the film The Prestige?
Can I give a complicated answer?
Yes, you absolutely can.
Okay, so I saw The Prestige after I saw The Illusionist.
Oh, no. God, where's this
which
going?
Those two came out at the same time.
Yep.
And I really liked The Illusionist because I... Okay, wait. So when did Illusionist come out? When did this
they
come out?
They were both 2006. Yeah.
Okay, so I was in sixth grade and I had a
Donnie Darko
fat crush. Had a fat crush on Edward Norton as a sixth grader.
I thought you were going to say Paul Giamatti. And
I mean, that... Is either one better than the other?
Right?
I don't know. Edward Norton was like my favorite actor when I was like 15.
Yeah, but not because he was fit.
Because I was edgy and I liked Fight Club.
I was just going to say, I think it's because I was edgy and I saw Fight Club and was like, Edward Norton, right?
You watched Fight Club and there was Brad Pitt there and you went, Edward Norton.
That tells you so much about me. And so I originally was like, yeah, The Illusionist, that's where it's at. But maybe in the last like 3 years, I saw The Prestige again and was like, wait, this is so much better. So yeah, I do really like The Prestige.
That's
good.
You have now seen the light.
I have. Wait, why do you ask that?
Because we all love The Prestige and we ask everyone. Like last year, we put on a special screening of The Prestige because we're obsessed with it.
Wouldn't that be fun if we did that again?
You guys should do that again, but you should pay doppelgangers to show up.
Well, it's funny you should say that because Rory's brother looks weirdly like him despite not being twins, and we did a version of the Transported Man on stage.
That's so amazing.
Good. We must have filmed. Have we got that on film?
Someone filmed it somewhere. Yeah. I don't know.
Have to dig that up.
There is a small chance we'll do it again. That's the point.
Who knows?
We'll see.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Let's go back to Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
Have you seen the Scooby-Doo trailer that popped up the other day, Sydney?
It's called Scooby.
I have. It's weird.
I think the reason we put this on here is because A, it's called Scoob, which is just funny. And B, this trailer has gone absolutely insane for us.
It's done 1.5 million
on YouTube in 2 days. It's bigger than the Death
Stranding. Wow.
It's like one of the biggest.
Wait, did you guys look at the demographics for like the age group?
I haven't actually. We could do that now.
I'd be so curious like if it's like people who are our age looking at it and being like, yes, nostalgia lives on.
I'm going to check.
Or if it's like these like.
I am a big Scooby-Doo fan.
So, okay. I have this weird relationship.
I loved it when I was a kid.
With that kind of cart, like animation. Mm. I think it's because, oh my gosh, my hand smells so much like chicken.
Well,
I was
you
just
did,
like scratching my nose. I was like, wow.
You are such a good fit for this podcast. Yeah.
So for context, I did meet you at 10 a.m. this morning and you came into the office holding 3 packets of opened and empty chicken.
Amazing.
I had chicken for breakfast.
That's so good.
It's because my hotel breakfast was so bad. They had these omelets, but they were in like a bread basket, like they were croissants. And what? So I was like, ew, what's happening here? But it said omelet on it, so it definitely was an omelet. And I was
promise
like,
you that's not normal British cuisine. I know this is like...
It was a weird first impression for sure.
This is like a thing people say about us.
I walked to the grocery store and bought a bunch of chicken.
Fair play. Yeah.
Anyways, we were talking about Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, I went to daycare. I keep choosing my words so wisely. Do you guys have daycare?
We know what it is. I've seen Toy Story 3.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
There's that film, Daddy.
So I went
to daycare.
Yeah. Well, it was after school care. So it was like...
Okay.
I went to school and then would have to stay late because my parents worked. And they would play those types of cartoons that basically they were like not Disney cartoons, more or less was what they'd play. And I hated daycare. And so I hate those cartoons.
Oh, no.
So I never really liked Scooby-Doo. But I did like Scooby-Doo the movie. I think that's kind of a banger.
The first one I think is all right, actually.
The first one's good.
Really good casting. I think
Linda Cardellini as Velma is very
so good.
Maybe,
yeah.
maybe the greatest piece of casting of all time.
Whoa!
That's bold!
Forget Daniel Day-Lewis in anything.
I was going to say, Tom Cruise in Magnolia, mate.
Linda Carlini, only second to Freddie Prinze Jr. as Fred, because he is Fred.
No, all that casting, because Sarah Michelle Gellar, Sarah it is? She's so good. Yeah. Like, that, it's just the whole thing. The guy
really
who plays Shaggy, who was in Scream, was really
Matthew
good.
Lillard.
Oh, yeah. See, I told you guys, I'm not good. I'm great at describing, not good at names. That's not my thing.
Yeah, that first one is okay. I watched it.
It's just okay.
I watched it a few months ago, actually, bizarrely.
It's so good.
And I watched the second one, which is terrible.
I haven't seen the second one in a long
Monsters
time.
Unleashed.
I definitely saw it when
they
it
shouldn't
first
have unleashed
came out.
Them.
They should have kept it on the leash.
Yeah. But the new one...
I know I promised a big analytics breakdown of Scoob, but
it doesn't
work. According to this, it's literally never been watched.
So
I don't know
bummer.
How YouTube works.
Because everyone has watched it.
Yeah,
so the
true.
Demographics
is everyone.
It's literally
just
the world.
It overwhelmed the server.
But yeah, I will see that film just because I have a soft spot for Scooby-Doo. And I like a mystery. Do you like a mystery?
I like... non-Scooby-Doo mysteries.
Mm. Oh, so you don't like Scooby-Doo?
I think it's rubbish. Like, I hate him. I hate Shaggy. They're, and I wish they'd get caught sometimes.
Yes.
I think I think my favorite cartoon thing is someone
Toontown?
Screaming into a vase and then putting a cork in it and then the scream coming out later when they pull the cork out. Mm. That's a good joke.
Is that Scooby-Doo?
I've seen Scooby-Doo.
It must
do
have
it.
Happened, yeah.
I've seen Scooby-Doo.
But it was the battle of the animated trailers this week.
It was.
Because yesterday, Sonic is back.
What?
And he doesn't look like a fucking freak.
Yeah, he doesn't look like
it's
a disgusting
so weird.
Thing.
Well, it's weird watching it and imagining that it was previously the other thing.
Oh, man. Oh. Yesterday, we put together a new story about like comparing the two. Mm-hmm. And we've got this cool thing on the site where you can do this image comparison. So I got two shots that were exactly the same.
Go to ign.uk.
.com/Sonic. And you can just slide back and forth between the two versions.
Cool.
And it's like a horror show when you slide open the old one. It's disgusting.
Well, I'm not one to slam things. Like, I'm really not. I actively, like, if I have a bad opinion on something, I generally won't
you let me
post it. I'll just DM Cardi and be like, fuck you. and just send him a picture of whatever I'm talking about.
Yep.
No, but like, who okay? Like, I'm just so confused how that got QA'd and sent out
the door.
There
is the conspiracy now.
There's Dale's conspiracy.
There's Dale's conspiracy that basically they deliberately made him look like a fuck. And then, I don't know.
Weird turn of
missed
phrase.
Out a word.
Weird turn of phrase.
And then basically just created that whole shitstorm so people would care about this film that they probably wouldn't have cared about
and
beforehand.
I mean,
it kind of... Like
it worked.
Like
even if
it's not intentional, the reaction to that trailer yesterday was astonishing. People just immediately loved it. Mm. And it turns out today that the guy who did Sonic Mania, who's the guy who fixed Sonic games for Sega, also helped with the new design of this. Like that
the
guy
Sonic
can't do
fixer.
Anything wrong.
Yeah,
it's really
amazing.
Weird.
But yeah, looking back at the original one, like using that comparison, it was like. When you imagine opening an advent calendar, it's a nice picture of a robin or something. You open it, and it's not a chocolate, it's just a piece of shit.
And there's a screaming man inside.
Yeah. It was disgusting.
It
but
was
it
terrible.
Actually looks, that trailer wasn't, like that first trailer was genuinely one of the worst trailers for a film I've ever seen. Like even the Jim Carrey bits looked terrible.
No, everything looked bad. Yeah. I was actually thinking, because they showed different Jim Carrey bits in this trailer, was did they do reshoots?
But the Jim Carrey bits looked better. Like he was doing mad like limb bits.
Doing proper Jim Carrey stuff. Also, there's one weird comparison between, because I had to really look closely at both those trailers yesterday for a long time. One weird comparison that's not Sonic based. I don't know why this is, and I would love someone to tell me why. In the first trailer, there's a bit where Jim Carrey like licks one of Sonic's hairs, quills, and he gets a little electric shock. Mm. And in the background, he's got his assistant, who's in the second trailer, and he's there. In the second trailer, it's exactly the same shot, except the assistant's gone. Like, and I'm pretty sure it's the same shot, and they've digitally removed the other man. And I don't know why.
Maybe he's dead now by that point.
They've killed him.
Yeah,
yeah, he's dead.
That would be great if the reason Robotnik went mad is because Sonic accident, like the start of the Boys, ran through his assistant and blew him up.
And just not having Gangster's Paradise helps a lot, because that was a mad
what
decision
an insane
as well.
Choice. It looks much better. I still don't think it's going to be good, but I will watch Jim Carrey.
Well, I'm
be
curious
silly.
How much of the movie we've seen at this point,
that's
considering
point.
They showed us so much in that first not great trailer, and then in the second one, it felt like all, for the most part, new content.
Yeah, I think there's like three shots that are the same. Yeah. So
I
think it's out early next year, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Nice.
I do like Ben Schwartz, so I'll pull for him. He's
good,
fine.
Good shit. Do you know what's out this Friday?
What?
No, what's out this Friday? I don't know.
Jedi Fallen Order, but I haven't played that yet.
So we won't talk about it.
So we won't talk about that. But also Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Yes.
You like Pokemon, don't you?
I love Pokemon.
So I've been
lucky. Is it
going
to be better than Silver?
Is it?
No.
Cool.
Okay, well.
You said that actually, to be fair. You have been playing it and you said it's not as good as Gold.
I don't think anything could be in my mind.
I agree. I think
it's the nostalgia of it, I think.
Well, and I think with Gold and Silver, and the reason why the second gen is so good is because it's like, that time in Pokemon history, they did add, we're excited because there's another generation, but we're not upset because there aren't like 1,000 Pokemon now.
Yeah,
you're just like, oh,
they
there's more.
They were pretty much all good Pokemon.
Exactly.
You basically got to replay the first game.
Exactly.
As well. It's basically
Satoru Iwata's greatest act was single-handedly adding Kanto to the end of that game
there we go.
By himself after hours when he was president of HAL.
But now we've got the first ever console Pokemon proper.
Yeah,
it's all 3D and
weird.
Everything. Well, it's been 3D on the 3DS, but
But not in the same
way. It looks like a proper game, though. You know what I mean? It's not like a little, not one of those little games.
Yeah,
but and it's set in a British themed world,
which you've said isn't British enough.
Well, I've just arrived in the last city, which is very much British.
Yeah, okay, fish and chips. Yeah.
I haven't had any fish and chips. You make a lot of curries, though.
Oh.
There's a curry dex now. Have you heard about the curry dex?
So, wait, sorry. Before you continue, I will say I have very intentionally kept away from as much knowledge about this game as possible.
I'm not saying don't say
things. You should say things because we're on a podcast.
I think you should just shout at him whenever he says anything new.
I purposely, all of those leaks, didn't look at them. My dream was I wanted... I wish they would have just shown us the three starters and didn't show us any other Pokemon so that you actually are like discovering.
Well, won't that unlock ones, Friday you know? Here so you can play it on your flight home?
I know, that's that's the goal.
Yeah.
Get rid of Succession, who cares?
Who cares about it? I'll do both at the same time. I'm like watching season two of Succession while also playing like this super pure game.
Just watching Score Buddy and thinking he's saying, fuck you, goddammit.
If you decided which starter you're going for.
Yeah, I always Sobble. I always do my first run through with water.
Always.
I went Grookey, so I've gone grass.
I think Grookey's as close as I've come for a while. Popplio notwithstanding, because Popplio sucked. That I've been tempted to go away from water, but Sobble's too cool.
I've been enjoying it very much.
Yeah?
What I like is they've stripped back a lot of it. It feels more like the original games. Like they're not. There's the bit where Pokemon started losing me is where they're adding all like the dressing up competitions and all of the extra stuff.
I love the dressing competitions. Like, I thought you were going to say Z moves. I didn't think you were going to say all of that as well.
But like they've stripped that. To me, it's just a traditional do the 8 gyms, like do the story. Collect Pokemon, battle them. That's what I want, just a good, simple Pokemon game.
Wait, I thought that they were changing... I thought that the gyms were going to be more similar to Sun Moon.
See, I didn't play Sun and Moon, so I haven't played the last couple
of
gyms.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah. I think they sort of played one gym.
They have mixed up how gyms work.
It's sort of like you go through a challenge first and then you have the final battle.
Each gym has a mission, which all takes place in the gym, but it's not just defeat these three trainers. They're like all, either like a mini puzzle or like a quiz.
But didn't they already have puzzles and quizzes?
Kind of, but they were in like Silphco and stuff like that. Like they've kind of incorporated those in
to gyms. I think it's somewhere halfway between Sun and Moon's stuff, and because they weren't even gyms, were they? They were like
they were. You had to conquer the island. Saying that out loud. Yikes!
Yeah, you were like it was idol Pokemon and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like the totems.
But
whatever.
I've had genuine joy because it's the first time I think I've ever played
you say
Pokemon.
I've had genuine joy.
I know. I don't know if I've ever had that. Like since like the original Pokemon of going along and like just discovering Pokemon I've never seen before, not knowing how powerful they are, what they do.
Yeah,
because so many times before I'm like I know all these Pokemon, but there's a lot of new Pokemon and I don't know what's coming. There's some that are just absolutely ridiculous. They have run out of ideas.
They ran out of ideas
like,
after the
I don't want
gym.
Like can I spoil one or two just
yeah,
like what
yeah.
they are
that's
I'm fine
that.
There is literally one that is a minecart full of coal who's called Car Coal.
Great. That's a character from Ukulele.
Yep. And there is another one called Vanillish, which is just a vanilla ice cream.
Oh, Vanillish has always existed.
That's it.
Vanillish has been around for a long time.
Really? Well, that one...
People fucking hate Vanillish.
I've triple evolved that, so I've got it.
So my question with that, though...
I've got a big old Vanillux.
That might be new, I'm not sure.
What was the last Pokemon you generation you enjoyed then?
I quite enjoyed Ruby and Sapphire.
Me too.
I thought they were.
I agree. That kind of was the. I've played every generation, but I think Ruby and Sapphire was the last gen that I was like.
Truly, it's good.
I go back and replay gens 1, 2, and 3 very frequently.
I think
where everything else, I'm like.
Did you like Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu? Because it was Gen 1.
I enjoyed it.
I kind of did. I didn't like the catching.
It was far too. Like it was no chat. It was hardly a game.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I actually still haven't finished it. I, like, very casually will play when I have my Switch with me, and I'm, like, have a short flight. Like, if I'm flying up to San Francisco, that's, like, an hour.
Yeah.
So I'll, like, play an hour worth of it, and then I'm done with it. But I never felt any urgency in it.
No.
That's what I've been enjoying about Sword and Shield. So I've got all my badges. I still haven't done the, it's
wow,
not called the Elite Four anymore. I know.
No, it's unbelievable.
Ooh, I've sunk 30 hours into that. But I like that it's not as easy as Let's Go. It's by no means difficult. Pokemon's never... really difficult, but I have had to think on certain gym battles about like I've been close to losing Like, it's not just, Let's Go was just far too easy. Like,
it
there was
very
nothing
easy.
To it, really.
Yeah.
Whereas there is, this is more of a, like, there is actually RPG elements.
You do actually have to think about your party and work through them and stuff. That's cool.
And I like the wild area, the new thing they've got. That's cool. And just the fact that you can see, like, no longer do you just go in grass and you don't know what's going to hit into you. Now you see every Pokemon walking around, running around. You can choose what you run into.
Does it feel like they're building towards an actual open world Pokemon game? Do you think they'll ever do that?
I don't necessarily want that. I don't know.
Someone posted a thing where it looked like Breath of the Wild, but it was like...
I'm very... I wouldn't say anti-open world, but I feel that most of the time if I like an open world game, it's in spite of it being open world. Like, it's that's never something that I'm looking for in a game, which I know is very, like, anti these times. Yeah. I feel like everything's
just
like,
fair.
Like, and it's open world!
I think people are getting way more into linear stuff now, because I think we had Ubisoft for so long just being like, look, everything we do does this. And you're like, great, I don't need it.
It's overwhelming for me. I don't know if it's like me being old now, but I'm just like, I don't have time to see everything, and I don't know what I should or shouldn't see. And so then I just am like,
But Pokemon's always good. It's just a nice break from other serious games. It's just it's just pleasant, especially with all the British stuff now. Like, people say mate.
Yes.
And the first time, it's not a spoiler, it's in like the first half an hour of the game. First time, like, you see a legendary Pokemon, one character just calls it a mad Pokemon. Like,
he's that's a mad Pokemon. What about, do they serve tea in Pokestops now?
As in Pokecenters.
Pokecenters. I'm thinking of
Pokemon there are
Go.
Cafes and stuff, though.
Okay.
So,
do you
good.
Nickname your Pokemon?
I never do, no.
No, I never
really do. You don't?
No.
So, okay, that's good, because I nickname my Pokemon, and I have one save on one of my, it must be a Ruby or Sapphire cartridge, and I had to buy a new one because I named it after my dog who ended up dying.
Oh,
and now I feel like I can't delete the save because Astro's on it.
You've got a forever dog.
Who do you normally just, what do you name them after?
My
friends
pets?
And family?
No, so like I have three cats. So like on my current, on Let's Go Pikachu, I have a Chester.
I have a
Simba.
You're going to name your Sobble after me?
Yes, Simon Cardi. I will name my Sobble after you.
Don't do that. You'll get a big head. You are quite sad, though. It does suit. It works. Yeah. Fair enough.
But yeah, Pokemon, very good. If you like Pokemon, you'll like it.
Yeah.
I'd be tempted to see, because I know Dale and Al. I don't know if Dale's played a Pokemon. I know Al's definitely never played
Pokemon. Yeah, Al's never played one, and he's wondering whether he should.
Yeah.
And I think he'll hate it.
No, because it is just more Pokemon. It's not doing anything revolutionary. No. If you don't enjoy Pokemon, you probably won't.
Al doesn't like JRPGs. It's just a JRPG. Yeah.
But you say if you like Pokemon, then you'd like this. I feel like there's kind of different kind of Pokemon fans, though. Because I don't play Pokemon Go, and I don't really care for it. And I feel like there's a generation of Pokemon fans who kind of that was their entry point, and I found that those are the same people who really liked Let's Go, who like were more open to Sun and Moon. Like,
I feel like this has kind of got a bit for everyone. Like, I'm the kind of person who enjoyed the first three or four generations and then kind of fell off, and this has got me thinking it's a lot like those original ones. So
that's what I want to hear. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's nice.
You'll
I'm
have a fun time, especially with your Sobble.
You mean Simon Cardi?
Yeah.
I like the idea that it's got his full name.
It's the full name.
If the you know, you can in every Pokemon, there's the guy you can go to who rates your nicknames. If he just goes, "That is the worst name ever made," I'm gonna be heartbroken.
Goes full British. He's like, "That is fucking rubbish.
That is shit. Would you like to remove?
Would you like to kill this Pokemon?"
They just execute my Pokemon in front of me.
Guillotined.
Wow. Anyway.
Wait, he pulled out a guillotine from the back.
Yeah. Guillotine is a bug move. Is it a steel move?
You're such a dork.
Wait, is it actually?
Yeah.
That's
dark. Yeah. I think it's a one-hit KO, but it's a low accuracy move. How much do you remember Fisher?
Did you ever get
that to actually work?
I think I did. I had a golem who had a knack.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
This week, Disney Plus launched, but we don't get it till March.
Yeah, you said
that's nice. Well, I don't technically get it because it launched while I was on the plane.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't get it till Friday.
Have you already subscribed? Are you in?
I'm in. I'm also, but I see, I am a huge Disney fan to the point where I'm like part of the cult. Like, I have my membership in my car.
Oh,
like,
nice.
I'm like here for it. Like, I've had a Disney pass.
What's the first thing you're going to watch?
Mandalorian. Because my husband, he didn't watch the episode, which is crazy for him. Mm-hmm. So we're going to watch it on Friday. But I didn't realize you guys don't get the service at all until March.
No.
And, as far as we know, there's no legal way to get around it.
Well,
at
so
the moment.
We've tried VPNs.
I was just going to ask about that.
But all three we've tried have been either it just doesn't work or it's too slow.
Yeah.
Oh. So
plus you need a US credit card to get an account in the first place. So you need to know someone in the US.
Well, we
basically.
Can't. We thankfully do have that. Yeah. So that's
I was gonna say I have a feeling you guys know quite a few people in the US.
We can do that. It's just we need to find a VPN that actually works for Disney. And I can't tell whether because people apparently in France can use it, and that's fine.
Is it because that's where Disneyland Paris?
Yeah, they're just out.
And bizarrely, it's launched in it's launched US,
it's in the
Canada,
yeah.
and the Netherlands,
and Australia.
And is it Australia?
I think it's Australia as well.
Huh. Interesting. I didn't realize. I had no idea that it wasn't going to be like an whole worldwide
at
launch.
One point it was going to be 2021 for us, which is insane. Japan doesn't have a release date at all. Like a guy who I know who lives in Japan yesterday was like, oh, you poor child, you have to wait 4 months. I'll never get this.
So does that mean that the Disney stuff was also pulled from like Netflix and Hulu at the same time for you guys, or is
so
it getting pulled in
I think it's getting pulled later because there's still a bunch of, to my knowledge, there's still a bunch of MCU stuff on UK Netflix. So I think that's part of the problem is, like, lots of people are like, how did Disney not sort this out? It's like, if Disney can't sort this out,
no
the biggest
can.
Media conglomerate in the world, there's a good reason for why it's not launching. Like, they're not doing this on purpose.
No, I think they are, to spite Simon Cardi.
They just hate this
just
guy.
Me.
But
makes Sobble even sadder.
So I'm kind of living vicariously through other people, apart from ignoring spoilers.
Oh, that sounds so stressful. I was just going to say, that sounds so stressful.
Yeah, it's like, well, we have a fairly ongoing issue with people in the US spoiling stuff because they don't remember that not everyone gets it. So, like, Game of Thrones is a fucking minefield. Now there are people who, if they're not going to pirate stuff, I don't like pirating stuff, really. Like, they're going to have to wait 4 months, maybe, and avoid spoilers that whole time. And that's, like, almost the entire run of that show.
In fact, it is honestly impossible.
Yeah, it seems insane.
Yeah.
Just
try our hardest.
Mute words on Twitter. But the thing I really liked that I've seen that I don't need to watch right now is there's some, like, documentary about what's coming for Marvel on the service, and they announced a bunch of stuff. So, like, Hawkeye is the show I wanted it to be. Yeah. It's based on the Matt Fraction run, which is fucking amazing, and it's got Pizza Dog in it, which is incredible news.
Pizza and Dog are
I'm
both
super into Pizza Dog.
I don't know what Pizza Dog is.
It's his dog.
I actually only know because of Twitter.
Pizza Dog's a ledge. And
does he only have one eye?
Yes.
Oh, so he does, because the Twitter picture,
so
I couldn't tell if he was blinking or if he was...
Oh, I can't remember if he... I think he's only got one eye. It's been a while since I read that.
Because he was like this, with one eye closed, and I didn't know if it was like, I don't have this eye, or if it's like, oh...
I need to check. I actually can't remember. That's bad of me. But also, some of the What If stuff got announced, so it's like, there's zombie Captain Marvel, and also a version of Captain Marvel where... Oh, Captain Marvel. Captain America. There's a Captain America, but he's in an Iron Man suit, and Peggy Carter is Captain Britain, I think.
Yeah.
Which sounds really fun.
About fucking time.
I know. But yeah.
Hey, you got a Pokemon game, okay?
So what I'm hoping is...
America gets nothing.
I think maybe with our launch, we'd get the first Marvel show, because they've also shown Bucky in Captain America's suit, which
that
is super fun.
So, okay. I'm going to say something controversial.
Please do.
These Marvel shows... I hate that they are going to be so far connected into the movies.
So they're basically forcing...
I mean, again, not to be like, I'm so busy, but like, I have so much... I feel like my breadth of the content that I'm interested in is so wide. Mm. Like, we clearly established I like these like more art house things and these like darker things that maybe we don't cover on IGN.
Yeah.
And hearing that... all of these shows are going to be connected. All I hear is like, oh, I have to watch these for work.
Yeah, they absolutely will do that as well. Like,
and that's just nuts, though, because for the average person, how are you expected? Again, like, I could maybe sit down at my desk and watch these. But like, I'm thinking like my brother, for example, like he has like a full-time job. Mm. He like has things he does outside of work, but he loves Marvel movies. But so does that just mean he's going to be super confused the next time he sees a Marvel movie?
Yeah, like, but this is like, it's that weird thing where we're so inside this bubble of like, we keep up with the stuff because we have to and it's our job and we can. Mm. But yeah, whenever I talk about Marvel movies with my friends who do normal things that aren't for children, like they go, oh, who the fuck is Ant-Man? Like, and you go in like Endgame for so many people and Infinity War was just like, I don't know, six
like,
of these people,
these people
who are the most famous people in the world. And you're like,
how interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah. It's like, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, I think my girlfriend hadn't seen Doctor Strange, and so she was like, hey, I don't really know who he is, but I know it's Benedict Cumberbatch. Mm-hmm. But then, like, the whole bit with Tilda Swinton in Endgame, like, what's any of this?
So Doctor Strange is, like, one of the two I still haven't seen. Yeah. So even when I was watching, I could put it, piece it together, yeah, what's happening, mm-hmm, but I was like, probably would have got more out of that.
100% you would. Yeah. Like, there's actual emotional stakes for that character at that point that you, yeah, literally can't empathize with if you haven't seen the film. Yeah. So it's really weird.
I'm curious if it's going to end up with this, like, group of these, like, very endemic Marvel fans. Mm. And then, like, if they're going to see a drop-off in the box office because of people who, yeah, just either don't subscribe to Disney Plus, don't have time to watch all these shows.
Like, there's probably lots of 10 and 11-year-olds who love the Marvel films, and they're like, if their parents don't understand, they're like, I need Disney Plus. Yeah. And parents are just like, no, you don't.
If I was growing up, my dad would have been like, absolutely no way am I paying for this, because he wouldn't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
Someone think of the children.
I know, right? It will be interesting. I do kind of wonder if, like, if this fails, is like Phase 4 the last time they do that? It's like, we're just not going to tie it in. Just leave it alone. I don't know. It's interesting.
I have one question for you. So we never really got... There's a lot of, like, Disney original movies.
Yes.
We never really got into...
You guys never got those?
Well, we kind of did, but they were never really a thing here, as far as I know. But they weren't for me. But, like, I see, like, every time Disney Plus is, like, talked about, there's 100 American people going, I've got to watch this random thing about a high school hockey team.
Wait, you guys didn't get those? Or they just weren't a thing?
I think we got a few.
Like, High School Musical's the one that transcended, wasn't it?
Like, that's a Disney original. But, like, there's so many, like, 90s ones, I'm just like... These are from, like, the one with, like, the guy just with a horse and stuff. I'm like, what's happening
there? Yeah, I saw someone talking about some film called, like, Lena and Trenchfoot or something.
I don't know what that is.
No, I made it up. I don't know. But, like, it was, like, all these
names. No, so it was, like, appointment viewing, kind of, on Friday nights. There would be a Disney Channel original film.
Right.
And, like, I mean, I was so young, I don't really remember in terms of, like, if you got a new one every week. Mm-hmm. But you'd get these movies, and they were just, like, they're just so steeped in nostalgia. Like, they're probably, like, so B-films
at best. That was my question. Yeah. If you got... Let's say three. Have you got any particular favorites that when we get Disney Plus, we should be straight on and watching?
Wish Upon a Star. So this one's like scandalous. They took it out of rotation for Disney. And I was actually really surprised to see that it was on the service because they pretended it did not exist. So I was also I'll get to that in a second. But I was also a really big fan of like Disney.com.
Okay.
Like I was super into forums and like all of that stuff when I was a kid. So now I'm working at IGN. Yeah. It comes full circle. And they like had a list where you could actually watch online, at least I think either each show had their own landing page or you might be able to like watch like bonus content, whatever, for these shows. And they took Wish Upon a Star off of Disney's website.
Right.
And it's because I guess it was kind of like a PG-13 film. They didn't do anything, but like this girl makes out with like her boyfriend and like it's about these two sisters. One I think is like a senior in high school and the other one is like a lower grade in high school. Yeah. They're both in high school. And she wishes upon a star to like switch with her sister who's like popular and the other one's like a tomboy. And so they like switch and that's the gist of it. But they just like she dresses like very scantily clad and it's very risque for Disney.
Reason. I thought it was gonna be like one of the actors was convicted of something.
No, that was the weird thing though, is that like there wasn't anything that I would say that actually you'd be like absolutely not. Yeah. And at that point, the internet wasn't this big thing where people were like there wasn't public outcry. Yeah. It just disappeared.
Weird. But it's back.
But it's back.
Okay, well, that's number
one. So, Wish Upon a Star. Oh my gosh, what's it called? Zetus Lapidus.
Sorry?
That's not what it's called. That's the girl's catchphrase. Xenon, girl of the 21st century. You guys know this.
What's made up? Xenon,
as in girl the gas.
Zetus Lapidus.
So it's this girl who lives in a space. They're in space. And
she lives in a space.
Well,
space.
The thing is, I'm also recounting these as I'm explaining them to you guys because I haven't thought about these in so long. So Xenon and her family live in this space thing. In space.
Okay.
But I think people still live on Earth, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And it's Raven from That's So Raven, isn't it? It's her best friend. Mm-hmm. But she says, Zetus Lapidus. Like, that's her, like, oh my gosh. And
it's like a spell.
Right? And it has something to do with this guy whose hair looks like pineapple. Like,
what the fuck is going on?
He is a singer, and I can't remember if he's in danger or if she just really wants to see him in concert.
Right.
Okay.
But he's like coming to the space station.
Okay.
And then there's this one part, but this might be the second one, which I personally think the second one's better. There's three. I personally think the second one's better, but there's this mean girl and she, spoilers, mm-hmm. she switches her clear coat nail polish with super glue. And so she puts super glue on her toenails. Right. And then when she puts her socks on, the socks get stuck.
Amazing.
That is pretty. That's
so what was that called again? Xenon Warrior Princess.
No. Xenon Girl of the 21st Century.
Okay.
But I, like I said, I don't know what the second one is. You should probably watch the first one before you watch the second one. But I think the second one's better.
Okay.
And then Smart House. I love you guys' reactions. This? We should just make a video of me yelling
Disney originals
to you guys. So Smart House is about this guy who actually is in a lot of these movies. He's also in Luck of the Irish.
What's Luck of the Irish?
I'll explain all of this. So Smart House is this guy and his family, and I feel like his mom either passes away. His mom's not there.
Right.
And his dad's a sad dad, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he has a sister, and the guy like just enters into sweepstakes a bunch and ends up winning a house, but it's like a smart house. Right. And so the house comes with this like nanny robot.
Okay.
But she's like a hologram.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's what happens. That's Smart House. But so he's also, his name's like Kyle something. He's also in Luck of the Irish, where he finds out that he's a leprechaun.
Oh my God.
And the best part about this movie is I was such a weird kid. So I have these like bumps on the side of my ear. I think it's like relatively common, but I don't know. And so I saw them. I was like, oh my God, I'm a leprechaun. And so this coincided with when I was really into Lord of the Rings also. So I was like, elves, leprechauns, they both have pointy ears. Mm-hmm. And so I would take hair clips and clip my ears to be little elf ears. And then Luck of the Irish, he does, what's that called where they like do the dance? What's
river
the
dance?
River dance. Yeah. So he river dances in it. And I was like, oh my God, I can river dance. And so I was in first grade when this movie came out. And I remember we were celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And I told my teacher, I was like, I know how to do the Irish dance. Can I do it for the class?
You didn't do the clips as well, did you?
I did do the clips. And so just, everyone's eating like potatoes, I guess, and I'm standing in front of the class just like kicking my legs around because I don't actually know how to do this dance.
Teacher's like calling, just going like, she's had a fit. She stuck things on her ears and fell over.
It sounds like a Disney original movie. The girl who thought she was a leprechaun.
Luck of the Irish.
But yeah, so Luck of the Irish, I don't know that I would recommend it, mm-hmm. but he's the same guy that was in Smart House, which also you should watch Brink. That one's really good. Or Johnny Tsunami.
These are made up, surely. What's going on?
You look
on?
Them up. I actually have just been riffing this entire time.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
I'll go really fast. So Johnny Tsunami is about a surfer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then Brink is about the guy who's like the hot guy from Princess Diaries. Oh, you guys ever watch?
Yeah.
So that guy's the Brink guy, mm-hmm. and they do rollerblading.
Amazing.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, I'm so excited for you guys. Oh yeah. My gosh, you get
I can't
to
wait to get on.
Them.
Genuinely, in March, we should watch some of these films and report back.
I want to watch 100%
should.
21st Century
or if we
girl.
Find a VPN.
This is our 21st
Century. I doubly want a VPN now so we can watch
exactly.
Wish Upon a Star.
Forget the Mandalorian.
I know.
No.
Who needs it?
That's
good.
Do you know what we do need?
Yes.
A bit of the Endless Search.
Yeah, we do. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search?
The Endless Search is back.
Yes.
Death Stranding came out. I still haven't played it.
And as part of that, Hideo Kojima was awarded a Guinness World Record for being the world's most followed video game director on Twitter.
That feels oddly specific.
Yes.
Did they make that up for him?
Who
was holding it before?
That's not a record.
No, it's very silly.
But in honor of that, we're going to play the Kojima 2 game. What's it called again?
It's technically called Kept You Tweeting Her.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Someone suggested it. I quite like it, but it's weird to say out loud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you don't know this game, essentially we search Hideo Kojima's insane Twitter feed for words suggested by the two competitors. And whoever gets closest to one tweet ever, like a Google whack, wins. Mm-hmm. But
amazing.
Above zero.
That's okay. Basically
zero is not good.
Kojima's
tweets. So, Sid, I'd like to ask you first.
Yes. Duck.
Duck.
Ooh.
All right. Holy shit. It's one.
Wait,
come
really?
Straight in with a one.
Straight in with one. That's shit. Amazing.
Wait, can you tell me what the tweet is?
It is. TGS, Kojima Productions merch, and Nendoroid Jumbo and Luden's Duck.
Yes.
And it is, the Luden's Duck is a little
exactly what you think
Kojima
it is.
Luden's
it's
rubber
cute.
Duck.
It's cute. I kind of wish that I collected rubber ducks, unrelated. I actually, oh my gosh, this is the most, like, my mind. So every time I go to Gamescom, I get my dad a rubber duck because they have a Gamescom rubber duck every year.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
So he collects rubber ducks now. Courtesy of me.
I have to beat one.
You have to, well, you have to get one, otherwise get you lose the round.
Does this, Rami, does this include retweets?
No, it's just things he's tweeted.
Okay. It's original tweets, yeah. Simon Cardi.
I've got to go for it, aren't I?
Yep.
Maverick. He might have watched Top Gun.
Oh, that's true, though. He talks about the movies he watches.
A lot.
Come on, search, would ya?
One time I met Kojima at a party. And so embarrassing. I started crying. I was a little inebriated. But I hadn't met him yet. I am not somebody that would walk up to people that I admire and start talking to them. Like,
you
that's just not
me.
My vibe. Just Simon's the only exception.
Yeah.
But a friend of a friend was like, oh, here, I know him. I'll introduce you guys. So I'm talking to him and I'm like, la da da da, like just like being really grossly like obsessed. And then his translator turns around, says one thing to him, and then he goes, picture. And I was like, yes. Oh. And so then we got a picture and I was like, wait, you didn't tell him anything I just said.
That sucks.
But that's fine. I've heard that he probably understood at least most of what I was saying.
I think he's better English than he lets on.
Yeah. Maverick is a big zero, mate. You lose.
It was a risk worth taking, and I'm happy I did it.
Round two, you start this time.
1-0 to you.
Cardi.
Well done.
Thank you.
Has he tweeted about me?
About you?
You should, look up your own name.
Yeah.
That'll work. You should do it.
Garlic.
Garlic.
Let's stick with food with him.
He does like food.
Yeah.
There's some weird shit on here. It's a three.
Three for garlic.
On the 3rd of October 2011, he tweeted this. This is actually funny. Like, if this was from Drill, it would be a Drill tweet. I got a garlic injection to avoid feeling bad, but now I feel bad.
That's an amazing tweet. That's a good tweet.
I am retweeting it now. Wait.
You are supposed to eat garlic when you don't feel well.
Yeah,
garlic.
I do that. You do like a little. Your breath smells so bad afterwards, though. But it's
all right. Got to beat three.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Have garlic breath and chicken hands.
Also, one of them is just the word garlic and then a picture of some bacon. Oh, there are garlic bits on it.
All right. Oh, okay. Potato.
Potato.
Ooh.
Keeping with the food theme.
Yep.
Yeah.
Luck of the Irish. Oh, it's close. Five.
Oh.
Is there any good ones?
One.
In cold weather like this, had the baked Japanese sweet potatoes for coffee break.
Oh. Baked Japanese sweet potato, though?
That sounds good.
Sweet potato.
It's good.
Full stop,
yeah, it's just lots of him looking at potatoes.
Oh, so he's a big fan of potatoes. I should have had the foresight to know he would.
1-1, it's a throw.
1-1. Should we do this as a decider? I think we're running long, aren't we?
Should we just do three?
Yeah, let's do three. Okay. So this
one more
is a decider.
It's a big one.
I know, this is a lot of pressure. Hood.
Hood. I like that. That is an unusual word. Three.
This three been, times.
It's been really good. So we did the Sea Otter hood from Death Stranding. But you also, so he's tried to write teenager hood, but he's written teenage hood. So he's like, my teenage hood masterpiece, Capricorn One, the Cassandra, bought them on Blu-ray disc and watched Red Riding Hood.
Oh.
Yeah. Three's not bad, though. That's a tough one.
I'm going to go with Neptune.
Yeah, I love that.
That's a good one.
This is a great last round. Oh, it's a zero.
Never I'm said surprised Neptune. He's never said Neptune.
I thought he would have said Neptune.
That feels very, like, on brand
feels
for him.
Feels very Kojima.
Well done.
That's a Thank big you. Win. 2-1.
Debut win.
I love that. I fucking love that game so much. It's so stupid.
So weird.
Death Stranding?
No, just the Kojima tweet game that I made up.
Oh, I love that game as well.
His own game.
A video game director.
You are. That's...
You'd retweet if someone.
You actually have a Guinness World Record for man who created Kojima game with most followers. So
yeah, that's true.
Keep sending your endless search suggestions. Yes. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
That's
simple email.
Amazing email.
You send in some feed mail.
I'll send in feed mail. I like this podcast.
They're in order of which order we should read them.
Oh yeah, but
cut this out, mate.
I'm not cutting anything out. I don't know who's for who.
It's fine. It doesn't matter.
I'll read.
We each read one.
We do.
Oh, cute. Okay.
I'll read this one.
Cool.
This is from Anthony Schofield. It says, "Hi all. First up, the pod's great." We knew that.
It's good, isn't it?
Main point.
I don't like reading out praise.
You just skip it.
Yeah, I don't try to. But there's some nice ones.
Here's his main point. "Your delayed Death Stranding chat got me thinking about embargoes. I work in news media and I hate embargoes. Why should listeners, readers trust you if you repeatedly make agreements to withhold information from them?"
I picked this bit of feedback because I've never had someone
actually challenge the concept of an embargo.
Anyone come at us this when it's not your shit.
Yeah. But we're not saying this is a bad email, by the way.
No, I think it's a great email. I like it.
"I know reviewing or covering something after public release can mean it's a rush job, but I have noticed IGN delayed its COD review partly because it rejected the embargo terms. Would that have cost big clicks? What do you sacrifice by not being equal first with a review?"
Well, I think this is an interesting question. Mm. The trust issue is an interesting one, but I think ultimately you kind of have to pick the people you trust whether they're embargoed or not. Like, you either trust IGN to give you independent ideas or you don't, and like we do. We agree to embargoes because they let us get coverage up early. That's part of it. But we also agree to embargoes that don't stop us from doing things generally. The Death Stranding one is weird. And he does ask,
well, I've got another question here. It's "What were the specifics of the Death Stranding embargo? I thought the review was up already when the chat was kiboshed." Kiboshed is a good word.
It is
what is it?
Just like means it's
cut. Yeah. Like,
oh.
Trashed.
Okay.
Beaten them. I think that, so I don't know how much we can go into the specifics of Death Stranding embargo, because that might be part of the embargo. Yeah. I haven't read it well enough.
No.
What we can say is we agreed to an embargo where we could put the review up that meant we'd had the game for long enough to finish it, which is a very important part of embargoes a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But that part of that embargo was that we would hold other opinions till a bit later after review. Which is kind of fine because we really wanted people to read the review. That's our company line. Us not being able to talk about it on the podcast was annoying, but like ultimately it didn't disrupt how we felt about the game, so I don't think it's like a huge deal. Basically, this is a super interesting question because it is just part and parcel in the industry and we kind of work with it because that's what we've expected and always worked with. But there is a point to be made that like we could skip embargoes, and sometimes we do. And that's when they're not good enough, so the COD one is...
Yeah, aside from COD, can you talk about any other embargoes IGN's rejected or you rejected? I personally can't.
But I know they have happened.
Our company line is we don't do review events.
Yeah, we don't do review events.
Because they put pressure on
us. Yeah, because you have to sit in a room with PRs watching you play their game.
That's what happened with the COD one.
Yes. Yeah. So there have been a few of those. And we don't usually talk about it very much because it's sort of...
We don't often talk about serious stuff.
No, we don't.
It feels weird to hear
inside baseball.
I know. I don't think I've ever heard you this serious, Cardi.
But I just think this is a good point to make.
Those are interesting questions.
And finally, why does IGN's Dan Stapleton say embargo?
I have no idea. I don't know what this little stick is. But, you should ask Dan.
Yeah. Thank you, Anthony, from Sydney, Australia.
Hey, I've got one from Brisbane, Australia.
Enjoy the Australians, love you.
If you do have it.
So this is Saran Singh. Hi all. Says some nice things. Helps him with his hangover. Thank you, Saran. Right. My question relates to Death Stranding. Given the extraordinary visuals of the game itself and the fact that this dedication to visual fidelity apparently extends to the offices, Luden's figures, merch and products of Kojima Productions, how is it that the game has shipped with one of the blandest box covers of any game in recent memory?
It's true, it's just a big Norman face.
Yeah, the image of Reedus basically only reveals his eyes, the dark palette of cover is in contrast with the airy pale lighting on most of the game's visuals, and for a game about ink monsters hiking up mountains and pissing on mushrooms, it seems pretty generic. Beyond Death Stranding, are there any other games that you enjoy that have box covers that you feel massively let down or misrepresent the game? I would suggest Overwatch.
What?
What is Overwatch's like, box? I have
Tracer.
A digital.
Yeah, it's just Tracer on it. I agree, it's boring. Yeah. The biggest culprit ever for this, in my opinion, if either of you play Binary Domain.
No.
Binary Domain is a game in which you are a squad of cool guys, including a French robot wearing a neckerchief, shooting robots. And it's one of the most fun games I've ever played. It's the guy who made Yakuza kind of doing a side project. Mm-hmm. And the front cover is a boring man in a on a blue background carrying someone else. And it does not sell that that game is like a B-movie action thing at all. It's really
weird. It's probably why I didn't play it.
I know. It's fucking brilliant. Still good.
I think this year's Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Oh,
awful. It's awful.
Really
I really
bad.
Don't like the Sword and Shield logos.
No.
I think they look naff.
Yeah, and it's just those... I know they're always the legendaries on the front, but like...
Yeah. But it wasn't the original, one. Like blue and red. It was
oh yeah, but that's,
the
that's cool a different boy. Thing.
They were still trying to find their footing.
Yeah,
and then they were like,
well, some
we
say they found it instantly and then slowly fell downhill,
like Norman
poetic.
Reedus,
like Death Stranding.
Yeah.
So is this overly negative to say I actually can't think of any box arts that excite me?
That's
so
fair.
Like the opposite. I feel like everything's just like very generic looking for the most. Like I can't think of any.
I
box
really
art
like the Last of Us remastered one, just the black and white photo of Joel and Ellie. I think it's quite striking.
Oh, yeah. You think because you played The Last of Us one time that now you are like a super fan?
Wow.
I actually
that
have that.
Three
I
times.
I actually have that case. Mm. Yeah, I guess it's nice. I don't. I just. And I'm a very visual person, and like it's not like I don't like box art. Like I love that kind of stuff, but I just can't think of any video games that I'm like
very
excited
little,
by.
Yeah, there's
I think
very little
all
box
the
art.
GTA games are very striking.
Oh,
I
agree.
I think
yeah.
the art
That's
style
good.
Is.
Yeah, I would agree that like there's very little box art you'd take and put on a wall as a piece of art.
Like
yeah.
San Andreas box art to me is one
that
of the
is
best.
Amazing. Like, yeah,
that
they
is
are
really
good.
In my head.
And that's because it's one of those games that doesn't need to advertise. So it's just like, yeah, stick whatever on it. Who cares? Like, you're gonna buy it.
I feel like Halo 2's box art I really liked, but again I think it's just a purely nostalgia thing.
Was that him with the like, two guns?
Yeah, but
because
I remember when they showed that and it was like, there's dual wielding,
yes.
And just like,
see, that is cool that it's like here's a little clue as to what you're getting in the
yeah.
game. That's a nice thing, but mm-hmm. yeah, that is true. I like it when they have reversible art, like Bioshock Infinite had really nice like inside, you could flip it around and it doesn't look like an advert anymore. It's just
really
Bioshock.
I do really like art. I just got a DVD. My husband and I started getting really into collecting like Criterion movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just got a Criterion one. I can't remember which one it is though.
Those
and
covers
it had,
are great.
Yeah, and it had like a reversible one. And actually the Donnie Darko one I picked up, which wasn't Criterion, it was a different, started with an A, Arrow.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and that
yeah,
was
yeah.
reversible, which was nice.
Let us know if any covers you particularly
is there
love
any
or
good
hate.
Box art. I think yeah. that's a really good
let
point actually.
Yeah. Good box art.
We need to level up that box art in video games now that everything's going digital.
Yeah.
Should we do that as a be a cool feature? We redesign box art for our favorite games. To
I mean,
make it look good.
People have done that who are actual
yeah,
good artists.
But me with some crayons.
Yeah, we
that.
Could do that. All right, let's think about it. We picked this one for you because it's mostly about Football Manager, and we thought that would be funny.
Okay, I'm gonna read the praise though, since I'm a guest.
Okay. Mm.
Hey guys, love the pod. Blah blah blah. Started. That's what it says.
Yes.
Started listening after Joe was on NBC or Beyond around E3, and now I'm hooked. Having spent many hours in FM and formerly Championship Manager, I would love a spinoff pod on it. I haven't had a PC or laptop for quite a while, but when it came to the Switch, I was buzzing and picked it up straight away. Have you guys played much on the Switch? How are you finding it? Hopefully by the time you read this, there'll be a release date for the new one. Honestly, wouldn't care what the FM pod is about. I would just love some more bands.
That was why we wanted you
to read it. Say bands? Is yeah. that like...
It's like chat. Banter.
Oh, but like banter. Keep up the good work, Gav.
Hey, Gav. So, two things.
What is FM?
FM is Football Manager, which is a game about managing football teams through the medium, beautiful medium of spreadsheets.
Maybe the greatest
Wait,
game
really?
Of all time. Yeah,
I love spreadsheets.
It's such a nerdy game and we all like it. And we
Do you like
talk
football?
About it quite
football or football?
Either.
The one with the feet.
Oh, I actually played soccer for 10 years,
Did
but
you?
I never got into watching it.
Mm. That's fair.
There you go.
Yeah, but I like
both
football.
Both footballs are good.
Yes.
Both footballs are
both
good.
Are good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... To Gav's point, we are going to do a Football Manager spin-off,
yes.
and it's going to be in this feed, so you don't need to subscribe to anything new.
Yeah.
It's going to be called It's
and
Football Day.
You can just
Day.
Delete it if you want as well.
You
don't,
you have,
to listen to it.
Don't have to listen to it.
Yeah, just delete it.
But me, Cardi and Dale, every 2 weeks, are going to be playing three different versions of Football Manager, and we're going to report back on our teams. So next week, we're going to, on release day, we're all going to introduce our teams and our versions, and we'll be coming back every 2 weeks until the end of the current
little
football season.
I've made a very, very brief start on my Rochdale career. And, oh, it's rocky.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not easy, but I persevere. I don't give up on things in life. And I won't on
this. That's surprising.
I agree.
Yeah. Are you going to listen to our Football Manager podcast?
I will listen to your Football
Manager.
You're
going to listen to this podcast every week now. You've seen how fun it is.
I will only listen to the episode that I'm in.
Yeah, that's very reasonable. I also, to Gav's point, last year was the first year I played the Switch version exclusively.
Oh,
I only played the Switch version.
Wait, so this comes
year.
Out, like, this is still ongoing. It's not just
every,
like
it's like yearly, FIFA or Madden. Yeah,
it comes out. It's a yearly franchise.
Does it coincide with, like, the football season?
Pretty kind much. Of? It comes out a couple months after. So it comes out next Tuesday, and the football season starts late August. So it comes out a couple of months after.
But yeah, so I have played the Switch version. I think it's good, but it's not brilliant. It's a bit fiddly. There's two, like,
when I'm so used to the full fat PC Mac version, like, it's hard to downgrade.
I don't mind the touch edition of the game. Yeah. I just think Switch in general, you can't control it as well as you'd like to, because there's not enough buttons. But
oh my gosh, agreed.
Thank you. I'm so glad we got sitting to talk to us about Football Manager, because you always arguing against you. It's nice to have some praise.
What?
Anyway, that's all we have to say about Football Manager. And I think that's all we have to say in general.
Exactly. Thank you so much for joining us, Sydney.
Yes, yeah, been really
you're
good.
You're so welcome, Joe.
Wow.
Yes.
We play 30 seconds of music at the end of the podcast.
We do.
I'm going to give you...
Copyrighted music?
It can be anything.
Oh.
I'm going to give you the choice. It can be related to something we've spoken about. If there's a particular Disney... What's the Toontown music?
That's like the noise that it makes when you catch fish. There's fish catching in it. Yes, find Toontown music and play it now.
Are you going to rip Toontown music to put
There'll be some on YouTube.
All right.
If not, I need a backup.
French 79 just put out an album called Joshua. I think there's one called Louise and Thelma.
Louise and Thelma. All right.
By French
79,
it's really good.
It'll probably be Toontown.
Will it?
Let's see.
Okay.
Guys, I want to play Toontown with you.
I would actually be up for that. We should do that.
We have time to shoot a Let's Play, don't we?
Oh, shit.
We'll make time.
We'll make time. We'll come in early hours, play some Toontown.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rain Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.